Hello, it's time for At the Table with Gail once again, our weekly programme featuring Gail Hall and her wonderful recipes that she sources for us. I'm Peter Fleming, and I just sit here and comment, and also, with a bit of luck, I get a taste of what she's been cooking. So, hello, Gail. Welcome again.
Hello, Peter. Hello, people. Yes, well, we've had a tasting session this morning, and I did make the frangipani galette, and I thought I'd bring some in for Peter this morning, and he can let you know what he felt about it. Now, I've got to tell you that I actually has brandy in it, but I didn't have any brandy, so I scouted through my liquor cupboard and found some rum, and it's pretty well aged, and so I used that. So, which tells me, Gail, go out and buy a bottle of brandy. You might need it next time. So over to you, Peter.
Well, you can always get a miniature, can't you?
Yes.
Very nice, Gail. I do like that sort of idea of a flaky pastry base and then something on the top that's fruity with a sort of custard, solid custard around
it,
and then it's your frangipani. Very nice indeed, and thank you for bringing it in.
Oh, that's right.
And when you say about using not having a brandy user, I think we're finding on this program, because you and I are going home and knocking things up, that
yes.
Not always when you open the larder door is everything as you would expect it to be. So
no, that's right.
You can use alternatives.
Well, I was going to put Contro, but I thought, oh, well. No, I had a little bit of rum in a bottle, so I thought, well, I'll get rid of that one first. So there you are.
A success.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Peter. And I hope the listeners have a go at making that. I am sending a photo off to the website, so just look out for it.
Yeah, and it cuts nicely into squares to hand around on a plate.
Very nice, yeah. But I didn't have it with cream, just ate it on its own. Yeah, very, very controlled.
Very restrained.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to start off with our soup of the week this week, Peter, and it's pearl barley minestrone, and a good solid soup for these sort of bit colder days. So we're starting off with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 red onion diced, 4 garlic cloves finely chopped, 1 large carrot diced, rinders bacon, 3 rashers, coarsely chopped. But of course, we've said this before, if you haven't got rinders, just cut the rind off. It's easy. 2 celery stalks diced, 1/2 cup of pearl barley rinsed and drained, 1.25 litres of chicken stock, 75 grams of Parmesan cheese finely grated, or of course, if you've got the already grated, just measure that out. 1 large potato, and that's cut into pieces, 3 cups of kale, coarsely chopped, 1 large zucchini diced, 1 large handful of sage, coarsely chopped, and 1/2 cup of coarsely torn basil leaves. Now, that's a real bunch of goodness, that is.
Certainly is, yes.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is heat 1 tablespoon of oil in a large saucepan over a medium-high heat. Fry the onion, garlic, carrot, bacon, and celery for 5 minutes or until slightly softened. Add the pearl barley and fry for 1 minute, stirring to coat. In fact, Peter, I was quite surprised that there was only 1/2 cup of pearl barley in this. But anyway, it does sort of swell a bit, doesn't it?
It does,
so
yeah.
It thickens up. Add the stock, 500 mils of water, and the Parmesan rind. Now, I didn't mention the rind when I said 75 grams of Parmesan, because if you're buying it in a block, you do get the rind. But I very rarely buy it in a block. I usually get it, you know, the easy way by having it already grated. So if you have got Parmesan and there is a rind on it, you know, put that in with the stock and the water and bring to the boil. Simmer for 10 minutes, then add the potato. Simmer for another 5 minutes, then stir in the kale, zucchini and sage. Simmer again for a further 5 minutes or until the pearl barley and the vegetables are tender. Now, this seems to me to be quite an easy put together, in fact, thrown together soup. Very, very nice. And you're just basically just cooking all that, of course, you eating it beautifully. It's not put through the whiz. And to serve, you can actually put it into the bowls if you're doing that. drizzle with that remaining oil, which is not much, it's about a tablespoon, and top with the basil and the grated parmesan, some more of that, and serve it with crusty bread. And I think it just looks easy and it looks delicious.
I'm going to have a look, and there it... Oh, yeah. Yes, it does, because there's plenty of body in it.
Plenty of body. Remember we had a bit of we had a power soup last week.
Yes.
And I would just about say that this was almost as powerful as that one, Peter.
It's got to be good for you. And what intrigues me, a few weeks ago, we had another recipe with your pearl barley in, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So probably like you got a big bag of pearl barley in there.
Well, so, it's great, isn't it, for soup? And it thickens it, of course, because, yeah. It does swell up. But certainly a very good one to throw together. And you can see there's not a lot of trouble in putting that together.
No, and I think I might have a bash at that, if only just to an excuse to use up the pearl barley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, don't forget to bring me in a little cup full.
I'll bring you in a mug full.
Put it to the test. Yeah. And so that's our first course, our entree, as you say, for this week and our soup of the week. Now, we're going to move on, and this appealed to me. I think I might make this weekend. I've got my son coming down, and this is something that he'll probably like, him and his lady friend. So it's French lentil cottage pie with Paris mash. Oh, almost, overseas, isn't it? Paris mash. But anyway, richly flavoured, apparently. So we're going to start off with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 large onion thinly sliced, 1 clove of garlic crushed, 1 tablespoon of thyme leaves plus extra to garnish, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley, and of course plus extra for garnish, 1/4 cup of tomato paste, now 1 cup of French green lentils. What's P-U-Y? Poo pie? P-U-Y lentils.
Pie, I think, isn't it? Where are we?
Yeah, it is. I think it's, I'm not sure exactly what that is as regards to a lentil. I should have looked that one up. I think I meant to when I was looking at this recipe. And we talked about French lentils, I think, a week or so ago. And I'm not sure what the difference is.
I think wasn't there a reference to white lentils?
That's right. Or, some black green. Were they green? Oh, no, these ones are green. We were talking about them last week, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to look very closely at the supermarket and see if I can find any of these, what you call French ones, because usually I just grab a bag of lentils, not really looking at too much. And then we have 3 cups of liquid vegetable stock. Now, the Paris mash, very simple, but I'm going to give you the recipe because there's a lot of people out there that just like to have a guide when you're doing stuff, because we've all talked about our, we're experienced. We've been on the planet for a long time, so we have a bit of a chance to experiment and learn how to do these things. But those that are just starting off, you really need to follow a recipe. So we've got 750 grams of agria potatoes, peeled and coarsely chopped, 60 grams of butter melted, 1/2 cup of hot milk, ground white pepper, and 100 grams of grated Gruyere cheese. Now, the method is here is to heat the oil in a large pot set over a medium heat, add the onions and cook for 10 minutes until soft and golden brown. Add the garlic and thyme, stir for 1 minute until fragrant. Stir in the parsley, tomato paste, lentils and stock. Bring to the boil, then cover the pot with a lid. Lower the heat and simmer for 30 to 35 minutes or until the lentils are tender and the liquid reduced. And season with salt and pepper to taste. Transfer the mixture to a deep-sided oven-proof dish. Now, this is where the mash comes in. Cook the potatoes in the boiling salted water until very tender, drain well, and shake pan over the heat for 1 minute to remove excess moisture. So you can do that when you've finished. It just takes away that bit lying at the bottom of the pan. Then mash until smooth, beat in the butter and the hot milk. Well, that should be fluffing up lovely. Adjust the seasoning with salt and white pepper. Dollop the mash over the lentils and scatter with that beautiful Gruyere cheese. And bake at 180 degrees Celsius for 20 to 25 minutes until golden brown. And, of course, you can scatter it, of course, at the end if you want to. If you haven't got any time, just use the parsley. Or you haven't got any, don't scatter. So just gives it that final touch. And it looks lovely. And this appeals to me. This is sort of my type of thing, too, that I do love. I'll just show Peter that lovely.
Oh, yeah, that does look nice. Yeah, yes,
it does.
Yes,
it's yes, very, even, very nice.
Despite the fact it's got no bacon in it.
Yes, well, it's got no bacon there. That's what appealed for a start. But anyway, I thought that was very nice, and it should go a long way. How many does it serve? Oh, serves six.
Yeah, all your recipes are very generous.
Good, you know, yeah, good, very good.
Good, healthy appetite.
Well, it's good for, you know, having it the next night or the night after.
Exactly.
That's what I say. So that's our soup, Peter, and our little bit of a main.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Right, I've got two comments to make now.
Yes, good. I always like comments.
Well, this one is just amusing because you dictate these, don't you? You read them out of...
I dictate them.
So, of course, it's up to the computer what comes out the other end.
And if you see anything strange, that's exactly why.
Well, it's... I think you said season with salt and pepper to taste.
Yes.
The computer said season was sold in paper to taste.
I obviously never checked that one very well. Now, that's what can happen.
About.
And honestly, that's what does take the time because I do read it, then I have to go back and proofread it. And honestly, sometimes the words, if I said that to Peter and to admin here, they would be very surprised.
And it says, until the lentils are tender. Not our tender. A tender is one word.
Oh.
Never heard of them.
Oh,
the only other
okay.
thing I comment, I think I mentioned this before, there was an Asian lady called Po who won some kind of cookery competition and had a TV series.
Yes.
And she used to have this French fellow on who was a real chef. He was a super guy.
Mm.
And he did mashed potato one time. And this is the way we do the mashed potato in France.
Yeah.
And he mashed up the potato. He probably did it in a ricer, of course.
Oh, did he?
Well, of course he would. It's the only way to do it. Anyway, so he did that. And then he got this slab of butter. He must have had about a kilo of butter. And he said, oh, we're going to put a bit of butter in. Beat it up. And he put it in and it went slop, slop, slop. And he had a little bit more butter. And Poe's standing there, thinking, eyes wide open. And he beat this up and it was becoming a real creamy mash. And just a little bit more butter. And I've never seen so much butter go into a pie. But he said, this is the secret. It is the butter is the secret. So it was more like mashed
like
butter.
Like eating more pure butter with a little bit of potato attached.
It was more like mashed butter than
anything.
But I should imagine it was. Because that's what they say, isn't it? Why does food taste so nice in restaurants? Because they put so much butter and so much salt in.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good point there.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, we've reached that point in the show. It's halfway through. It's time for a little bit of music. I don't know what we're going to dance to on this one. I think we'll just sort of sit and bobble about a bit because the obvious choice with your minestrone soup is 10cc and minestrone, or life is a minestrone.
Oh, I wonder what caption's behind that. Life is a minestrone?
Well, listen to the words.
We're going to sit and listen.
There, so if you didn't know it, Life is a Minestrone by 10cc. Back to you then, Gail. What have we got now?
Well, we're bordering on the dessert now, Peter. So I've never seen or tasted peanut butter and banana Lamingtons, which really appealed to me because it was underneath the recipe of the traditional Lamingtons, which you, I think you pop in jelly or something, and, you know, pink or chocolate, you know, and they're traditional. But with peanut butter and banana, I thought, we must try these. So we're starting off with 125 grams of butter, chopped and softened, 3/4 cup of caster sugar, 2 eggs, 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence, 2 cups of self-raising flour sifted, 1/2 cup of milk. Now, 175 grams of caramel popcorn, chopped, mixed with a handful of chopped peanuts. Oh, that sounds good. I'd be eating a bit of the caramel popcorn while I was doing it. 3/4 cup of smooth peanut butter and 1 banana peeled thinly sliced. Now, that's your recipe for the actual mixture. And we're moving on now to the caramel icing. 1.5 cups of brown sugar, 150 grams of butter chopped, 3/4 cup of milk, and 3 cups of icing sugar sifted. Preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Lightly grease and line a Lamington pan, which is basically a slice tin. In a large bowl, using an electric mixer, beat the butter and sugar together until creamy. Add eggs one at a time, beating well after each addition, and then beat in the vanilla. Lightly fold in the flour into the creamed mixture alternately with the milk, beginning with the flour and ending with the flour. So you're doing flour, milk, okay? So, and flour, of course, if you're ending with the flour. Spoon mixture into the pan, smoothing top. Bake for 30 to 35 minutes or until cooked when tested. Cool in the pan for 5 minutes, then turn out on a wire rack to cool completely. And then you can cut them into 12 equal fingers or little squares. Now, the caramel icing in a small saucepan, combine the sugar, butter and milk. Stir over a low heat until the sugar dissolves. Simmer for 2 minutes, stirring. Remove from the heat and mix in the icing sugar. Spread the chopped popcorn and nuts over a shallow tray. Using a fork, dip each cake piece into the icing, draining off excess. Roll in popcorn to coat, and then place on a wire rack and allow to set. Then split the Lamingtons in half, spread with peanut butter and top with the banana and sandwich together. Now, isn't that unusual?
Golly, that's quite a as you went through that, and then you do this, and then you do that. And wow, by the time you finish, you've got quite a cake there, haven't you?
Well, you have got quite a cake. And, I mean, it sounds like it could be a little bit fiddly, you know, especially when you're doing the dipping.
Yes.
And then you've got to roll, you know, sort of get all those caramel popcorn and the nuts over it. But it looks appealing, but yeah, does, a little bit of work behind this one, Peter.
Yeah, I could imagine it'd be a bit messy. But
And I don't think I'm going to offer to make that one. No. I wouldn't mind if somebody else made it. I could try it, but never mind. Never mind about that. But I just thought it was nice. I've never really heard of a peanut butter and banana Lamington. So I'll look out for them if any bakery's making them.
Yeah.
And of course, I think you have to really be a fan of peanut butter as well.
So do you buy caramel popcorn?
Yes, you can, and it's yummy.
Ready to go. Oh, okay.
Oh, it's very nice. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you could just have that
there
without making the actual Lamingtons, but no, very
just
nice.
Give in and eat it. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly.
All right. Interesting one, that girl.
It is.
I'm not going to raise my hand immediately to make that one.
No. Well, this one I did actually make, and it's actually ended up in my freezer. I did make a pavlova for my granddaughter. She requested one for her birthday, and so I did make. I used 6 eggs in it, so that's obviously 6 egg yolks. And it's always, I know you can make a custard and I think you make lemon honey, you can do all those things, but I just wanted something instant. When I finished the pavlova, I thought, oh, I've got 6 egg yolks. What am I going to do with those? I'm not going to put them in the fridge. What will I do? So I grabbed one of my books, you know, sort of fairly old books out of the cupboard because it still announces actually. But this one is a lemon cold cake. Now, please don't ask me why it's called a cold cake because it's cooked in a hot oven. But what we start off with is 3 tablespoons of butter. And of course, I doubled the recipe because I did have 6 egg yolks. So I doubled the recipe. But 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 egg yolks, 1/2 cup of milk, 3 teaspoons of baking powder, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of lemon essence, and 1 1/2 cups of flour. So quite basic, really. Cream the butter and sugar, add egg yolks and beat well. And of course, I did this in my mixer and I did beat them well, and it really came into obviously quite a yellow mixture, but I did really beat it well and it softened all up lovely. Mix in the essence and milk, and then add the sifting flour, the sifted flour, and the baking powder. Now, the essence is also yellow, and so it's quite a sort of yellow cake, to be quite honest. And then I put it in a sort of like a bit of a square cake tin, not too big, because it doesn't make a huge cake, but a reasonable size. And I baked it in a moderate oven, which was about 180, for 45 minutes. And I looked at it, you know, sort of getting closer to the time, just to make sure that it wasn't going to be overcooked. So it's a good cake for, you know, when you've made a pavlova, and to do something straight away with your eggs. And I cooked it for that length of time, took it out the oven, never cut it or anything like that, because I thought, well, it's quite a good one to just have in the freezer for unexpected visitors coming. So very easy to do. And I can't still work out lemon cold cake.
No, there's nothing in the ingredients or the method that...
No.
It goes towards cold, is
no.
it?
No, but I can't, I can't even see, the egg yolks are certainly cold, I suppose. But anyway, I just think it's a basic one to have to the side when you've had the problem of using up egg yolks.
That's right.
Because you don't want to waste them. So you don't want to put them down the sink or anything.
We've been using up pearl barley, and now we're using up your egg
That's
yolks.
That's right, exactly.
Oh, it sounds like a nice cake. Hey, you haven't tried it yet, then?
No, I haven't tried it, but I'm not going to overkill with the lemon. I'm going to put vanilla icing on the top of it.
Right.
When I do take it out, and yes, should be good. Oh, well, if I take it out and it happens to come about the time that we're talking, Peter, I might, you know, manage to just save a piece for you.
I was going to say, I was about to drop the biggest hint you ever heard, and I'll put it away till later.
Right, okay. So basically, that's our recipes for today.
Jolly nice.
Yes.
Yeah, they all sound nice. I've got to decide, but I've got to make something.
Well, you were going to have a look at the soup, weren't
you?
Oh,
I was going to look at the soup because you used up the pearl barley.
Pearl barley, yeah. Minestrone.
So if I make that next Tuesday evening or something. Then,
yes. No, that'd be nice.
I could bring you a cupful in.
Yes. I'm not sure what I will do, if anything, for this trip because I did make the galette and brought it in. So I'll just see how I go.
Oh, you're going to have a week off, are you?
I might have a week off.
Well, you're the boss around here. It's your program. All right, then. Well, there you are. That's some more recipes for you out there. And thank you very much, Gail.
No, it's been fun.
See you next week.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.